Welcome to The Grand Conversation, the Machon Siach podcast. Machon Siach at SAR High School, honoring the memory of Belda Kaufman Lindenbaum, Zichrona Livracha, is the research arm of SAR High School, where faculty bridge theory and practice on matters of Jewish education, curriculum, and culture. I'm your host, Shmuel Hain, Rosh Beit Midrash V'Torah Sheval Peh at SAR High School. Our producer is Avi Blum, and our engineer today is Greg Schmidt. This episode of the podcast is devoted to the subject of building Jewish confidence. On this podcast, we are thrilled to be in conversation with Ms. Adina Shulson, longtime chair of SAR High School's History Department, and Dr. Karen Keller, who is part of the history faculty at SAR High School. Ms. Shulson and Dr. Keller were the coordinators of a landmark event that took place this week at SAR High School, the Am V'Ometz Building Jewish Confidence Conference. This conference, along with a number of curricular and co-curricular projects that we're doing at SAR High School and at Machon Siach, are designed to instill and reinforce students' confidence in their Jewish identity. We're thrilled to have this conversation, very excited because I spent time at the conference the other day and looking forward to unpacking that and how you coordinated that and arranged that. But I want to take a step back first and ask you, Adina, what is Jewish confidence? And why is that the term that we prefer to use for the work that we do at SAR High School around advocacy, training, anti-Semitism, etc.?
Sure. That's a great way to start. I can tell you why I like the term Jewish confidence more than terms like advocacy or training. And I will also, though, admit that I was more averse to advocacy before October 7th. And now I appreciate the need to give students tools to more directly respond to anti-Semitism that they might experience online or on campus. That said, I really love the term confidence, Jewish confidence, because it is inward focused. It's about what we can do for ourselves, for our students, to provide knowledge and strength and resilience. And sure, and all of that is necessary in order to then be a good advocate. But I think being an advocate sometimes feels defensive, and sometimes that's necessary. But as an educator and as someone who is a proud Jew and wants to teach my children to be proud Jews, it just feels like a much more positive spin on what we're trying to do. And it also encompasses so much more. It's not just, what do I respond when they say this? It's Jewish history. It's all the great moments, amazing people, the richness of what it means to be Jewish, Jewish culture. Learning Tanakh and Gemara is also part of building Jewish confidence. So I think it's broader and way more positive.
And in that sense, it's broader than Jewish pride, which you used that term, proud Jew, a couple of times. But that's kind of focused specifically on, you know, having a good sense of self as opposed to being confident in what I know about who I am.
Confidence requires more knowledge, I think, than pride.
I also feel like it just allows students to connect to their own identity and explore what does it mean to be a Jewish person today and think about how my identity as a Jewish person fits in the world today.
Great. So I want to also kind of get a sense of this conference that just took place is not the only thing that you two have been working on in this area. And I'll start with you, Karen. Can you share some of the work that you've been doing as part of this broader Jewish confidence project? What kind of stuff have you been doing in school and co-curricular in order to expand the experiences of our students?
Adina and I have been working a lot together on this project for several years now. The first thing that we did was to create a history of anti-Semitism curriculum for our 10th grade. We really wanted our students to be able to understand when they see something that is anti-Semitic online or they hear it. What's the history of that? Like, why is it anti-Semitic? So many students would say to me, I know that that's anti-Semitic, but I don't know why. And so our goal was to go back in history and teach them this is the moment when something like this started. So, for example, after our Enlightenment unit, we asked them, what do you think Voltaire had to say about Jews? And all the students think that he was going to say something really positive because of what they had read. And then we go back and read what he wrote, and they were able to they were really surprised. And they've been able to kind of connect throughout history and look at current examples of anti-Semitism and say, I'm gonna trace that back. One of the in my class, one of like my greatest achievements, I feel like, of the year was we were, as part of our Holocaust unit, we were reading part of Mein Kampf, and I asked them, where did Hitler get this idea about control? And my whole, almost the whole class said the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. So that was a really important moment.
And this was something that you were working on even before October 7th.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just because there was a sense, I guess there were the few years before that, there was Kanye, there was other things that were going on that made this something that we felt like we needed our students to have a better, more comprehensive understanding
right.
of.
Not that much before. When I was writing an article about it, I looked up the Kanye episode. And you know when he published that first tweet? October 7th, 2022. So it was exactly a year before, but that got us moving. Shine a Light was doing things. Other organizations
right.
were recognizing that we needed to have better response. There were a lot of influencers, especially with social media, feeling like our kids were much more susceptible. And so we started working on it then.
Yeah, I remember, I think I wrote for the Jewish Link something about teaching Gemara, where there was a kind of strange line about making sure you don't pay retail, that you only pay wholesale, and how that hit differently post-Kanye, pre-October 7, 2023, and can the Gemara be anti-Semitic, or how do you engage with a Gemara which seems to be utilizing some of the terms and tropes of anti-Semitism? I want to ask you also, Karen, about your work with Comp Sci High. I think it's important for our listeners to get a sense of what you've been doing and what our students have been doing with peers in the Bronx.
Sure. So I actually help run two cross-cultural programs. One is with Comp Sci High, and the other one is with a school named TAPCO. And we bring about 20 students from our school and 20 students from Comp Sci High or TAPCO together about 6 or 7 times a year. And we do different activities together. We learn about each other's cultures. And we also engage in some tough conversations about prejudice that impacts both of our communities. So the students have really gotten an opportunity to know each other. Many of the students have connected actually outside of school as well, which is a really amazing thing. And we hope that through these connections, they learn about each other, and this will naturally to help fight anti-Semitism and racism.
And the Comp Sci High versus the TAPCO, those are different kinds of student bodies. TAPCO is arts and other
TAPCO is a performing arts school, and they go to museums together. They're more focused on even creating something together, something art-related. So some students are going to work on music or drawing or even poetry, versus Comp Sci High is more of just a program to that focuses on getting to know each other and becoming allies for each other.
All right. Shifting now to the recent conference that we convened and that we ran with AJC. Adina, maybe you can give us a little bit of the background as to how the idea for a conference developed and how we started working with AJC. What was some of the origins of that?
Sure. I think Rabbi Harkstark and Rabbi Krull maybe called me into their office and said, we have a grant. Someone is giving us some money and wants to do a program to address anti-Semitism. Go, you know, come up with something. And so the first thing that Karen and I did was call Dr. Laura Shaw Frank, a former colleague here at SAR. I worked super closely with her on Israel education and other things. And she left about 5 years ago to work at AJC. And we knew we have worked with her since she left. She works in education and she's always been an amazing partner. And we knew that she'd be a great person to brainstorm with. And yeah, we brainstormed and our original idea was much more modest. We were going to have a smaller group of SAR students with a group of Jewish students from private schools. But the funder, I think, rightly said she wanted something that would impact the whole student body and wouldn't just hit a small number. And so we went back to the drawing board and we came up with this school-wide conference. You know, it was a little overwhelming. How do you program for 650 students? So we talked about it and we decided if we divided it in half and we did 11th and 12th grade together and 9th and 10th, that we could create this really rich program where students would have a chance to learn from lots of different people. That was the origin.
Yeah. Adina, I feel like it was so kind of moving that the funder wanted this to be something that impacted the entire school, because you often don't see that with our other grant from the Nagel Foundation. It was just impacts the students that are in Comp Sci High. And it's just an incredible thing that, and also the importance of every single student in our school being able to be exposed to all of these speakers and learn about how to build their own confidence as Jews.
Yeah, it really felt like everything stopped for a day in the school, which I can't remember. There's maybe a handful of times in my 13, 14 years here where everybody dropped everything in order to do a one-day program. Usually we have conferences going on, but it's like on the side and teachers pop in or some students get invited or whatever it is. And this took over the entire day in a way that was both impressive and really engaging, but also overwhelming because everyone's schedule was right. Just like, where am I going now?
Yeah, that was crazy. But I was going to say that it really felt to have the whole school being part of something. It just gives it a buzz. I mean, it was kind of a joke. We kept saying we were calling it the anti-Semitism conference, right? Which was obviously a bad name, but we needed to have a name, and we kept talking about it and emailing, and we finally sat down, and then we came up with this Am VeOmetz, Building Jewish Confidence, and started to use it, and I feel really good about that. And there's something about having a logo and having a name and having something that we can refer to it by, and we got iPhone wallets that I hope kids will use, so that even if a few use it, then it carries it on, and that the whole school experience, it's like a shared history that creates a kind of identity and extends the impact of a program.
Yeah, my students today asked me if we were going to be doing this again before the end of the year.
Maybe we can. We'll turn it around. What were some of the highlights of the programs that you were a part of yesterday? Because there were lots and lots of different sessions that were being given. What were some of the highlights that you observed or that you felt were really noteworthy that you were overwhelmed by?
I think a highlight for me was seeing our alum talk about their experiences and also how they were just normal high school students and then normal college students, and they happened upon these situations by accident and they just knew they needed to act. And I think that was a really strong message for students, because they're normal high school students, and who knows what situation they'll be in college, but they can see other people that were once in SIR High School and now leaders in college and beyond, and they could envision themselves as that. They can be that. And I think that was something that was really powerful for a lot of students to hear.
Yeah, and we had a panel of a few alumni who each had kind of their own perspective and voice on how to do campus advocacy and campus work in this area, and I thought that gave the students a rich view of the different ways in which you can advocate, in which you can be involved.
Yeah, I was really happy that they were on a panel together and they each had a chance in their own individual sessions to dig a little bit more deeply. Some of my favorite sessions, I really enjoyed, there was one called Sephardic, Mizrahi, and Bukharian. What does this all mean? Menashe Chaimov came. Denise Samstein, who runs the Sephardic Student Initiative here, she connected me with him. And I just, you know, if you look at the list, you might be like, one of these things doesn't belong. But I just feel like it really does belong. And it goes back to my point about Jewish confidence, and that this conference wasn't about Israel, and it wasn't about, you know, all about what to say when someone, it was about learning more about what it means to be Jewish and the diversity of the Jewish community. And I sat in on that session for a while, and it was great. It was super interesting. It was great for kids who are Bukharian or Sephardic and identify like that. But other kids were in that session, and they were able to learn more about what that means and what some of the uniqueness of those particular backgrounds. I really liked that one. I thought Shuli Taubes, I mean, she's always fabulous. She did such an exciting text study about advocacy in Tanakh. And as she said, I'll never think of the word Vayigash the same way. Now, instead of that someone approached, I will think of it as somebody advocated. And what we can learn from those examples.
Stepping up.
Exactly. What we can learn from those examples in Tanakh. Those were two really great sessions.
Adina, my students today were talking about the Sephardic Mizrahi session today in class and how much they learned and loved it, and they're so excited to learn about it in the future. I want to shout out Adela Kuchav as well. She taught four sessions yesterday all day to 11th and 12th and then 9th through 10th. And so many students were so touched by her story. They just felt like she was such a powerful advocate for Jews. And Adela Kuchav is a Mexican-American. She went to NYU, and while she was at NYU, she experienced anti-Semitism and wasn't sure if she was going to stand up to it, but ultimately she chose to, and she ultimately sued NYU and was at President Trump's announcement during his first term of his executive order against anti-Semitism. And she went to law school, and now she goes around the world speaking about her experience, trying to inspire others. And she's just an incredible public speaker and has this wonderful, inspiring story. And so many students connected with her. They've already told me that they're messaging her on social media for advice about what to post, how to post. And they were just incredibly inspired by her.
And she does social media postings, I think, her own. She also does some for Unpacked. And I think that our students who may be following other things and getting some negative stuff in their media feed, it's just great for them to have positive, pro-Jewish, pro-Israel people to follow.
Yeah, she spoke about the power of one story that, you know, should you even bother posting if you're not a social media influencer? But she was saying that how in her feed, and she's all about being pro-Israel, that she sees so much negativity against Israel, and that your one story could be that random one story that some person is going to see, and that's the only story that they'll see about Israel.
All right. I know you're still basking in some of the excitement from the conference this week. I wanted to get a sense, as you're compiling some of the feedback, what are some of the next steps that you want to do to maybe follow up on that conference? Maybe not this year, but what are some of the things that you see as kind of a longer term goal when it comes to Jewish confidence? Is it just building on what we've done and continuing to let students see how big this can, how much their confidence can grow and how much they can gain from learning more about Jewish life and Jewish identity?
I'd love to do some workshops. I think that if we do this conference again, I'd love to have kind of informative sessions, and then maybe one informative session and then one workshop where students are really working on something that they can use or an actionable skill that they can, you know, they can work to develop over the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, we had some of those mixed in, but I agree that we need to maybe separate those. There's skills and then there's information, and that, I mean, I don't know, Shmuel. It's
too I think also.
Too soon.
I think it would be great to have teachers with the presenters, because the presenters, they don't work in a school, but
right.
We
there's
teachers.
An act of translation here. Like I was sat in on one session where a high school teacher would have done a great job kind of co-presenting with the person who came, just to kind of give a little bit of that translation and relatability to the high school students.
Yeah, I think that just the idea of presenting with somebody else and they know the content and you know how to deliver it, I think that could be really amazing and powerful for students.
I was just going to say, there's a little tension, because I think the power of yesterday was that it was the whole day and it
and
was
the
these outside people.
Right.
And so if we were just to say, oh, it'd be nice to have a workshop here and there, it will lose some of the power of it. And then certainly it would be nice to pair people up, but then the complexity of that.
Right. No, I mean, in like a full day conference, right? We would run another conference, but then students went to three sessions. So one session would be informative, one session would be some sort of workshop, and then maybe panels again.
I want to end with a more challenging question. You know, just in the last couple of weeks in our school, we have had the challenge of what happens when students and the student newspaper shares a perspective on Israel that some of our student body and some of our community and parent body find to be outside of the bounds of what should be discussed in our school. So I guess I want to ask you, how do you navigate that challenge? And how can we continue to instill Jewish confidence and knowledge and make the Israel education as complex as we're trying to do and encourage and foster conversation, but at the same time still make it a place where different views can come to the fore and we can discuss them in a way that's productive and ultimately edifying, as opposed to one where it's really just kind of combative. I'll let you start on that one.
We have the expert of civil discourse sitting right here.
Oh, it's a hard question. I mean, I think that fundamentally having students know that the people that we, their teachers, the school, we're Zionist. We love Israel. We support Israel. We go to Israel. Our kids spend time in Israel. To me, building that trust is really important and sets the stage for teaching in a 10th grade our Israel unit and teaching 12th grade modern Israel and just in general, working with an organization like AJC that also is just a proven, known entity that is Zionist. I think that's super important. I think a great thing about the conference was that, and a conference format is that allows for slightly different views. I mean, within a spectrum that, but some differences can be expressed. A student today in my class did give feedback and said it would have been nice to have other alum, because we do have alum who are more on the left side of the spectrum. And wouldn't it have been great to invite one of them to talk about what it was like and some of the activities that they were involved in? And I thought, yeah, that's interesting. I something to talk about, but that would be interesting.
Just jump in for 1 second. Something that I learned today from my students is actually that Adela and Shabbos Kestenbaum are very good friends. And I wish I had known that in advance, because what an amazing panel. These are two people that sit on different sides of the political spectrum, and it would have been great for students to see them discuss issues in a civil manner.
Yeah. There's a line somewhere, but I think that we should try to be a little bit expansive, because I think narrowing what it means to be a proud Jew and a Zionist is not in our best interest. I think that loving Israel can look a lot of different ways, and what's best for Israel is having more people loving Israel and being able to say that they're proud to love Israel and love being Jewish, even if it looks a little bit different for different people. So I think it's I don't have a neat answer for it, but I think that we look at the challenge straight ahead and know that we have to find that balance and find the right way to manage it.
Adina, Karen, thank you so much for spending a few minutes after a very busy week, an exhausting week. We really appreciate it. I love the final comment of trying to just get our students to feel more connected and identify more strongly with, even if it means that they're doing it in a somewhat of a range of different ways. And I think that's what the school and what Israel education and what building Jewish confidence is all about. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Grand Conversation. Please be sure to visit our website, www.machonsiach.org, where you can subscribe to our podcast and find all of our work, podcasts, papers on a variety of subjects, including building Jewish confidence, Israel education, and the like. Until next time, this has been The Grand Conversation, the Machon Siach Podcast.